Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock. Right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we've got our telephone lines open today because we don't have any guests coming in. Got a few things I was going to share as well, but also if you've got a question, we can get you on today as well. The line or the telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you today. And of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us. We've moved into our new location. We're getting settled in, and it's really exciting to be able to have our own place after so many years sojourning in the wilderness, so to speak. But we are at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, a little commercial space that we have, and so we're excited to be there. And you can check us out tonight if you're not doing anything. We have our Friday night Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock, and it's an informal Bible study, and they give you an opportunity to not only ask your questions about the Bible, but enjoy some fellowship with some of God's people tonight. And it's sort of the same theme that we do on our Sunday night program, where we have phone calls, people asking questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word. We do that on Friday as well, but sometimes we have more guests on Friday or other Bible studies. But at any rate, just wanted to let you know about that. We'll talk more about that, and we've got some things coming up there in the future. And again, you can find all those things at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can also link to the church webpage for Richfield Bible Baptist Church. So all you have to remember is livewithpastoral.com. All right, let's open with a word of prayer. We'll get into a couple of things here, and we've got a caller as well, which we'll get to here momentarily. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we had to be on the air today. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people to Christ that are searching. Encourage us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to encourage one another and to encourage believers in their walk with you. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Before we get to our callers here, I just want to mention that we had a great time this past Tuesday with Chad Connolly, the founder and president of Faith Wins. They're going across the country trying to stir up churches and pastors to get involved in the elections, to get your people to vote, to turn out for the election, to get signed up if you're not signed up to vote, and then to go out and vote. And of course, we've got coming up on May 3rd, we've got Ohio's primary election for, this will be a primary for the governor's race, the Secretary of State's office, a senator replacing Senator Rob Portman, who's retiring, and then also for U.S. House districts, you'll have those as well. There's going to be another primary coming up in August for the state representatives and state senators and some other races because of the shenanigans being pulled by Chief Justice O'Connor in the Ohio Supreme Court. But that's a whole other story. And one of the things I just wanted to share before we get to our caller here is the meeting on Tuesday with Faith Wins reminded me more and more how important it is that we as pastors remember that Paul wrote to Timothy, a pastor that he left in charge, and 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, he wrote to Timothy, he said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Part of the problem is pastors are not addressing what's happening in the elections, and churches are not informed, and they're not praying for, well, as he says here, kings and for all that are in authority. That would mean all of our elected officials from the local level through the state and federal level, county level. We need to be praying for these people. And you can't pray effectively if you don't know the situation. For instance, how can you pray effectively for Joe Biden if you don't understand that he's lost, you don't understand that he's got certain mental conditions that he's suffering from? Our church prays that God would bring clarity of mind to Joe Biden and understanding in his heart that he could hear the gospel message and have an opportunity to be saved. If nothing else, you can certainly pray that. And certainly, he says we should pray for these people that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, which is good, but the thought doesn't stop there. In verse 3, then he says, for this, referring to praying for all that are in authority, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This tells me that we need to pray for those that are in authority over us, not only that they would get saved if they're not saved, because God wants them to be saved. I hope you want them to be saved. And then also not only the quiet and peaceable times from having godly rulers, godly leaders, that we have an opportunity to go forth as believers to reach other people with the gospel message so that we can continue to have the freedom to do what we're doing. Appreciate Pastor Lutz in the last half hour talking about what's happening. And then we think about this literally a ministry of truth, you know, and out straight out of 1984, George Orwell's novel, and that the Department of Homeland Security is going to be moderating what you're publishing online, what you're talking about, and then, you know, just they don't use the word censor, but they're going to be monitoring it for misinformation. How's that sound? Anybody feel a little hairs going up on the back of your neck if you're starting to worry that one day they're going to start to clamp down and on free speech that we have? You know, free speech in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution is there not just for the sake of free speech. If you read it, it's in the context of freedom of religion. Because if you don't have free speech, you really don't have freedom of religion. Well, that's another area we might get into in the future. But for now, we've got a caller calling in. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al, and we've got John calling in today. John, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Thank you, Pastor. I wasn't Pastor Lutz great the last hour.
Oh, it was. And I don't mind going away from what I was talking about. I was going to talk about if nobody had called in, because he actually hit a lot of the points that I wanted to hit. So praise the Lord for that.
Well, you can hit those points because I don't think I'm going to take long.
All right.
I think in the book of Numbers,
mm-hmm.
It talks about the tribes of Israel. The promised land is divided amongst the tribes. Moses isn't allowed to enter because of what he did. And then it says at the end, at Moses' death, it says, and Moses died as God had said, and he buried him. Was Moses not buried by the nation of Israel? Was he buried by God?
It was God himself, I believe, from that buried him. Because
that's the way it reads.
I'm sorry?
That's the way it reads.
Yeah.
It sounds like that's what it says, but it kind of threw me.
Yeah, and
heard of God burying somebody.
Yeah, because I've actually heard people explain it this way, and they've said, you know, if they had a sepulcher or something where Moses' body lay, it might have become a stumbling stone for the Jewish people, meaning that they would have, you know, practically wound up worshiping him. And he is, of course, one of the greatest of the prophets that they ever had. And but there's also something else that took place that relates directly to what you were saying there. If you look in the little book of Jude, the second to the last book of the Bible, just before Revelation in the New Testament, It says that Jude records here, it's only one chapter, and he says in verse 9, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." And what's interesting about this is, which you said about how the Bible says God buried Moses, he buried him out in the wilderness, nobody knew where his body was buried, but it's interesting, Jude gives us this insight that shows us that God apparently dispatched Michael the archangel to safeguard the body of Moses because the devil desired to do something with it. It's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's when I missed that when I was doing that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that threw me.
So. Yeah, because when it says he was contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. And it really doesn't go into what he was doing or what the devil wanted to do or, you know, what exactly the nature of the dispute is. That's why I agree with some people that I've seen talk about this or heard talk about this, where they believe that there was something going on here where the devil wanted to use Moses' body in some fashion and perhaps to lead people to, you know, worship Moses or something like that. So, but a very interesting thing. But yeah, we have over in Deuteronomy chapter 34, of course, I believe it is, where it says that God buried him. In Deuteronomy 34, verse 6, he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor, but no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. So, but apparently the devil knew and contended with Michael the archangel over it.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't reading more into that than what was there.
Right,
wasn't
right.
Moses and Elijah that appeared in Jesus' transfiguration?
Yes, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter and some of the other disciples went up with him, and they saw him there, which leads some people to believe that Moses and Elijah might be the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. Usually there's no question on Elijah, but usually the second one, people speculate either Moses or perhaps Enoch. Because, you know, Enoch and Elijah were the only two people in the Old Testament that never died. And some people tried to say, well, Moses never died, but of course he died, because it says right there, Moses died when he was 120 years old, so.
And the fact that the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die.
Right, right, and of course the two prophet or the two witnesses will die at the midpoint of the tribulation. Yeah, because Enoch walked with God and God took him, and then Elijah was caught up in the fiery chariot. And we'll find out who it is, you know, when we're watching from heaven what takes place on earth. If I had to pick two people, I'd say Enoch and Elijah myself, but might just be two people in the spirit of them as well. So
might be you and me. Who knows?
Well, I don't think it'll be me. although I remember listening late night radio one time back in the 1990s, some guy out of West Virginia was claiming to be Enoch, he was claiming to be Elijah. He was revealing it. Why he was revealing it, you know, like at 1 or 2 in the morning on a small station in West Virginia, I wasn't sure, but you know, I guess, you know, he didn't have much money at that time, so.
Well, I'm going to let you go because I want to hear what you have to say about Pastor Lutz's. I want you to continue on with that because that was interesting.
All right. Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that question, but that is a good question and good to see that, and it makes us look at the other things in the Scriptures as well. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much, and God bless.
Thank you.
Thank you. And you are listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And we had started talking about the idea that we should pray for those that are in authority. And Pastor Lutz was bringing this out in the last half hour. If you didn't have a chance to hear that, you can go to their website and you can listen, I believe, to the whole message there. But part of the problem is exactly that. We have not prayed for people in authority. Yeah, it's like I'd like to tell people, the Christians abandoned the political scene to the world, and then we sit back and complain that it acts like the world. You know, why would we be surprised if we don't elect Christians into public office, if Christians don't get involved? And I know there are some good, solid Christians serving in public office. I know that. I know several people who are good, solid believers, and they're serving. I know some pastors that have actually gone into public office and doing wonderful work, and some other godly individuals. And if you know somebody like that, you need to pray for them. You need to support them. But by and large, a lot of churches do not talk about politics. I heard one time somebody was saying, well, you know, that's too divisive. Take that outside. It might offend somebody. And then, of course, they'll turn around and talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers playing against the Cleveland Browns or something. You know, if that's not divisive, watching a Browns fan and a Pittsburgh fan go at it over a game, you know. but they'll talk about plenty of other things that divide people. But they won't get it. And we've got this idea that somehow it's dirty and it's unseemly for us to talk about the political world. And yet we have, as I said earlier, Paul writing to Timothy. And Timothy's a man that that was pastoring. And Paul is writing, he wrote two letters to him, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and he's trying to give him instructions on what he should do as a pastor. We call these the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy, as well as Titus. Titus was also a pastor. And these are letters not only to instruct these men in the first century, but they're also letters of instruction for us here in the 21st century and for every century in between. And God made no mistake when, through the Holy Spirit of God, he inspired Timothy to write in 1 Timothy chapter 2, as I read before, in verse 1 and 2, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It is a pastor's responsibility to familiarize himself with the candidates and the issues that are about to be voted on. We have an incredible opportunity, an opportunity that other parts of the world don't have. Now, some people, yes, they have the right to vote, and in some cases they're made to vote, but they only have one choice on the ballot, basically, and that's it. And so, you know, like Henry Ford, when he unveiled the Model T, he said, you have your choice of colors as long as it's black. Well, they have their choice of candidates as long as it's the only one that's on the ballot. And then, of course, they would, some of these communist leaders and other dictators and things would trumpet the fact, we had an election and I won by an overwhelming majority. Well, you're the only one on the ballot. And in some cases, it was illegal to vote for anybody else other than you. So it was illegal not to vote for you. And so this has been something that's happened in the past, but we need to be aware. We need to know the spiritual background of our leaders. Are they saved? That's a good place to start. Are they saved? Do they know the Lord? And if they are saved, what church do they go to? Because, you know, that's gonna influence how they view many of the issues of the day. And then we can look at other issues. Are they pro-life or not? What do they feel about the encroaching homosexual movement on our society and on our families? Look at the kerfuffle down in Florida when it became revealed that Disney Corporation is actively trying to to brainwash your children and my children with acceptance of deviant lifestyles, with things that God calls an abomination. And yet they're saying they're going to work that in to their movies, their TV programs, into their theme parks and all those things. What do these people running for office think about that? You know, in Ohio, we have a primary election on May 3rd. Are pastors concerned about whether their people are even going to vote? You know, the Bible says we're to be salt and light in the world around us. One of the ways that we do that is by voting. We vote, and if we vote our biblical values, if you're a pastor and you're listening and you say, well, we're not allowed to talk about politics, show me where the Bible says you can't talk about politics. I mean, if you're going to pray for kings and all that are in authority, you got to know what they're doing, and so you can pray for them. You know, we could just make a general prayer, oh, Lord, just bless all those in authority. Well, that's nice. That's like praying, Lord, save everybody in China. Well, wait a minute. Why not get a little more specific? You know, Lord, pray that you would open the heart of the king, open the heart of the president, open the heart of the mayor, open the heart of the governor, open the heart of the senator or whatever. Help them to see what the Bible says about these issues. Help them to know that they need to be saved. Lord, touch their heart, you know, and be informed. You know, Christians in the past, you go back to the founding of America, Christians back then were very much aware of the issues of the day. Pastors preached whole sermons revolving around issues that were facing them during that time, in the founding of our country. Where have we lost that? We didn't lose it from the Bible. It's still there. If you got a King James Bible, like Pastor Lutz was talking about last half hour, read it. There are things in there that encourage us to pray for them. And we don't pray for those that are in authority. The devil elects his people. Believe me, he gets his people out there. This is why we have a state like California that wants to pass a bill saying that you can kill a baby up until the time of birth and for several days after it's born, things like that. Where does this come from? But you know what? Thankfully, if you look to the recent elections in Virginia, the new Virginia state governor and the lieutenant governor and some other office holders there, state office holders, Christians got involved. They prayed, and it made a difference. God's people need to pray. God said, or the Bible says in the book of James, you have not because you ask not. Are you asking God for godly leaders? Are you asking God to intervene in the elections? Are you asking God to raise up people that'll defend biblical values in the public spaces? Or are you just sitting back thinking, well, it's all in God's hands? Well, it might be in God's hands. But guess what? God wants to use you. He wants to use me to carry out his work in the world. If we just sit back and say it's all in God's hands, then we're saying, well, God's going to do it. He doesn't need us. Well, guess what? He chooses to use us. If you're saved, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, unto good works, not by good works, but to do good works. It's God's desire that you get involved. It's God's desire that you pray for your elected officials. It's God's desire that you get involved and pray for our country. Pray for your community. Pray for your hometown. Pray for your schools. Pray for your families. Pray for your churches and pray for your pastors. Pray for each other. We're all in this together. God's with us. He wants to use you, and he wants to use me to make a difference in the time that we have. I want to thank you for listening. Join us next time, and God bless. Remember to vote.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church.
Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word.
Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.